might just mention by way of introduction, to the introduction, Mark has the introduction this afternoon, but I might just say we want as much participation along the way. We, as I've said in prayer, we're hoping to take up the book of 1 Timothy this week, but with the very particular purpose of challenging us by the Spirit of God to the subject of godliness in our life. And I don't want to steal too much of Mark's thunder, but just to sort of encourage us, today we're going to be looking at recovering or reviving the awe of God in our lives. And then later on during the week, tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to be looking at the godliness in our private life, in our public life, and godliness in service, and then godliness in relations with one with another. And then finally on Friday, Lord willing, we hope to look at godliness in light of godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness in our finances. So this is the direction that we hope to take. And by the way, this is the young adult study. And the young people study is in the other room over there. And might just say too that we will be in that other room for the rest of the week. After today, we'll be in there at 1:15 for the rest of the week. So if you come here and you're the only one here, it's not because the rapture has taken place. It's because we're all in the other room. So just to let you know. And then one final point. For as far as participation, we want, as I've said, as much participation as possible. And if the sisters have a question and you want to ask a question, we're going to ask this year that you just write it down, slip it over to a brother, and he can ask the question. That way we can just move things in a nice, orderly fashion. So with that having been said, I'll turn it over to Mark.
Okay, some of the input of how we came up with the idea of this topical study in godliness was a result of some of the feedback that we've gotten in past years of different subjects that would like to be taken up in this session. But we wanted to some of the suggestions were not sufficient to do a full week's worth of study. But they were very important questions because they were raised. They were questions that you've asked and would like us to take up. And what we thought to do this week with the Lord's help is to use 1 Timothy as a launching pad to look into these various topics that Tim talked about. I'll just state them one more time. We want to take up godliness, but we want to look at godliness in specific areas of our lives, private, public life. You know, you can't be something in public but what you're not in private. In service, how do we serve? Do we serve carelessly or do we serve with a sense of the God who we are attempting to serve? In our relationships, one of the questions that was asked in past years and would like to be taken up is the whole question of singleness, the whole question of relationships, the whole question of how do we go on in faithfulness to the Lord, even knowing that we have desires perhaps to be married, or if we're married, for some that are here that are married, what is it that galvanizes and strengthens those relationships? That we are all in relationships in one fashion or another. How does God expect us to function in those relationships? And then the big one, which is the one that probably is the most sensitive one, is about our money. You know, what's going on with how you are stewards of what God has entrusted you? The idea of godliness and the thing of Timothy is Paul writes to a young man. And as he writes to a young man, all throughout the book of 1 Timothy, there are occasions where this word godliness pops up as he's instructing him and giving him some instruction. Just to be, you know, very thorough, Vine in his description, in his dictionary, describes godliness as a devout piety which is characterized by a Godward attitude. It's really an attitude. And that's what we want to look at this week. It's an attitude as we approach these various areas of our lives. It's an attitude, a godly attitude, that does what is well-pleasing to Him. And that's really where we want to be at, where we want to think about. It denotes reverence and fear of God. And it also indicates reverence that's manifested in our actions. That's a lot of definition, a lot of words. And, if you want me to repeat them, you can raise your hand and I'll repeat them so you can write them down. But these are very important definitions as we progress this week. But before we can get into and understand, I think, how this matters in relationships, in our private, public life, in our relationships with our money and the quest for contentment, I think what we need to do, and that's really what we're going to do today, is we must recapture the sense of the awe of who God is. I want to say that again, because what happens is we particularly, Christians, believers who have grown up with it, spend a lot of time going around in Bible studies, at camps, conferences. We get pretty laissez-faire. We get pretty laid back with regards to our understanding of who God is. So we're going to look at two verses in 1 Timothy as our launching verses. And then we're going to, and it's amazing, I was just talking with Tim, how we came to the same portion that we want to look at perhaps in a little more detail in this idea of recapturing the awe of who God is. But just to look at how Paul sets Timothy up in the appreciation and the consideration of who God is. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And then go down to chapter 3, verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Paul, writing to Timothy, in explaining and setting him up to be a faithful servant in the assembly at Ephesus, and encouraging him to walk in a way that would be consistent with the calling, reminds him with whom we have to do. And he says, there is one God. And he says, great is this mystery of godliness, or what God is like, or this Godward attitude, God. Right? It starts with God. The Bible starts with, in the beginning, God. And very often, it occurred to me as we were thinking about this, as I was thinking about this, we are all in danger, perhaps, of reducing God in our thinking to be something that we can understand. That the truth of who God is, we create an idol. We have an idolatrous by nature. Human beings are idolatrous. And we have the danger of having a view of who God is that fits well within the confines of my comfort zone. And that's nothing less than idolatry. What we want to capture this afternoon is to open our vision and open our eyes and to see how the scripture sets forward the greatness of who God is, and that we might be caught up with that. Now, we can't understand God through our finite capacities. Because if we could, then God would cease to be infinite because we can understand him in totality. The way to know God is by revelation. He reveals of himself to us what we need to know in order that it might invoke a response in us to him. So that's the introduction. That's where we want to go. And we're going to, if there's some thoughts that want to help set this out, Good. If not, we're going to move to Isaiah chapter 40. But before we do that, we'll just give a little time. If anyone has to add something or would like to add something to that intro.